Well, good afternoon. We're going to switch gears just a little bit. And I was asked to talk about motivation in the genetics business. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a personal background and some of the things that I've picked up over the years, and also really tell you a little bit about BIF and some of the things that I think, especially as young producers, the things that we can do to engage in BIF, that moving forward we can do some of those things like Twig alluded to and Bob alluded to make those better decisions. It's really a great opportunity. And just to give you a little background, I've worked in the Extension Service for a good number of years, started out in Arkansas and then moved here to Mississippi. And when my husband and I moved here to Mississippi, we had a grand total in our seed stock herd of 2 head. Now, they were 2 pretty good cows, but there were just 2 of them. But we owned them, and that was our start. And we worked through it, and there were several times as we went through our operation that we could have easily said, hey, this isn't worth it. We've both got day jobs, going to school, doing other things. You know, there's certainly an opportunity to just, let's market them for now, let's set that aside, do some other things, and let's come back to it. But we made a conscious decision, really, as kind of a partnership, that we knew where we wanted to be down the line someday when we had kids that might be involved in the cattle business, that we wanted to start that direction now. And so we made several choices along the way that allowed us to keep those cattle. Herd size changed many times. The location changed many times. And we've learned some things, made some mistakes along the way, certainly as we've done it. Now, I will tell you this. This presentation today is going to be a little bit lighthearted, because I think one of the things that I've learned is that you have to laugh a little bit, because they're cattle. You're dealing with biological systems. You're dealing with times that it doesn't rain at all, times that it rains all the time, times that you have equipment breakdown. Lots of things happen in this business. You have even more serious things as we see turnover in generations and maybe people that are involved that are no longer able to be involved in the operations, that we have to adapt and change and deal with it. If you can't laugh at the mistakes, I think, you know, that's kind of what keeps you going and able to do that next thing. So, you know, we had a Triple Crown winner. Some of you skipping over to the equine business. Triple Crown winner last week, and we're here at the beach. So here's your test question for today. Since y'all aren't asking any questions, I'm going to ask y'all a question. What is this? It's a seahorse. All right. Well, we've got a pretty sharp crowd today, so this should be a pretty slick presentation. Y'all catch all of it. Motivation. So what motivates you in the cattle business? What motivates you in the genetics business? What motivates you in the beef business? Because ultimately we're producing something that becomes a food product for us. And motivation can take a lot of different forms. And here's one example. Certainly, I figure this fella right here, if he's got a hole in the kayak, he's probably paddling pretty fast. He's motivated. Now, there's other times it's tough to get motivated. You had to catch that 5 a.m. flight to make the connection to flying to Gulfport, Biloxi. You know, maybe it's a little hard to get out of bed in the morning. But you did. You got up. You're motivated to come down here to travel. People come from all over the country, come from other countries. You made that conscious decision. It's really, when we think about motivation, it's what drives you. What drives you to make that next decision? And so I'm going to ask you on a personal level, what motivates you? I'm going to throw up some suggestions and possibilities, and there's probably things I won't address that may be motivating factors for you, and it may be that several of these things are what motivates you in the cattle business. Now, maybe you just do it because you enjoy it. It's fun. You know, we're here at the beach. Some of you may do a little bit of this while you're out here. But what motivates you? What do you enjoy? And in my extension career, dealing with cattle producers of all ages and all backgrounds, professional backgrounds, different family histories, dealing with different resources, there seems to be a common theme with a lot of folks. And I think you could move anywhere in the country or outside the country and get the same answer, that there's a level of enjoyment. You choose to do this. You could choose to do other things, but you actually choose to be in the beef business, you choose to be in the cattle business, and the particular segment, whether it's the seed stock industry, the commercial sector, stockers, a lot of different aspects. Now, some of y'all like what Bob was just talking about. You like crunching numbers. You like seeing, you know, there's a science to this, certainly, and that's why we're here at BIF, to get the latest, greatest science-based information that we're making good decisions. We're not just making decisions based on bad information, that we've got some good information and the latest technologies to do that. So having those numbers before us, having those different tools that are science-based that we can make decisions on. You know, a lot of people, I laugh at my husband, but he gets really excited when he turns in yearling weights to the Breed Association for our herd, because he instantly gets feedback back with those ratios, with seeing how those cattle rank. And, you know, he's already kind of got it in his head when he's weighing them, how everything is going to turn out. And then as we watch EPDs change on those cattle, and we watch the future calf crop. And so constantly looking at that and getting excited about that. And that's a good thing, to be excited about the genetic end of that, because if you're excited about it, that means that you're looking forward to the future. That means that you're looking forward to making progress in the right direction. Now, this has been alluded to in both previous talks. There's an economic component to this, certainly. And for many of us, this is a major driving factor. It's got to be economically sustainable. And certainly, you know, the information that you're going to learn here at BIF, that you're going to implement on your operations, we can use that information to make good decisions that helps to improve the profitability of not only what we're doing, but also our customers. If you're a seed stock supplier and you're producing the type of genetics that will help make your commercial customers money, then you're really impacting a lot more people in terms of profitability. And it expands well beyond that. You think about the economic impact, you're impacting your home communities as well. Y'all are all buying at the same farm supply places in the community. That affects the tax base, spending money out there in the community. So there's really a kind of a multiplier effect when we think about what we do on our individual operations and how many people it really, really affects. You're going to hear briefly from the Commissioner of Agriculture here in the state of Mississippi address the convention, and she'll tell you that the economics of agriculture and the impact on the state of Mississippi is it critical. It's very, very important to the economy of the state, and each of us has a part in that. Now, this is, I think, I threw this in here because of my husband. I know there's probably some people in the room that think the same way, but you're always trying to be the one who can do this, right? If you're in the seed stock business, even in the commercial business, to try and produce that super animal, the one that's got all the traits and the right combination for your production environment, that you can really do some amazing things with that animal. And that changes because your resource base changes over time, the market changes over time, and so what's the superhero today may not be the fit for down the line. So you're always tweaking this. You know, we think about improvement. It's not a destination. It's a process. And we think about Beef Improvement Federation, that word improvement in it. So you're never finished. It's not like something you follow stepwise directions, you get done, it's done. You actually go through and you continue this process and you continue to tweak. And then if you're like some of us, you like the newest, latest, greatest things. Now, you Mississippi, we produce cattlefish up here. You think Dr. Smith on campus, Kobe's working on this project? Aquaculture, yeah. So we think about some of the different tools that are out there and things that we've never thought about before, never thought were possible. You know, maybe when you come to places like this, you come to the Beef Improvement Federation meetings, you interact with other folks who are the thought leaders in the seed stock industry, in the commercial business and supporting industries, the breed associations. You start thinking about things that you never think were actually possible before. You know, you got a little bit of the history of the timelines of some of these technologies, where we were sitting a few decades ago, things we never thought were possible we're doing today. Where are we going to be when BIF has in a few years, our 50th anniversary? Where are we going to be down the line? Certainly there'll be more tools, more information. So now the other thing I want to ask, besides what motivates you, is who motivates you? Because we're in a people business. We're in a business where we're sharing information amongst each other. You know, certainly, you know, we're trying to have competitive advantages as we do that. But we're also trying to do things that will help out the greater industry as we do this. And who motivates you? Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's another producer out there. Maybe it's a family member who's been involved in the cattle business for many years. Maybe someone else that's involved in the industry. And one of the things I think I've learned, maybe the hard way, but I'm really appreciative that I've learned, is to be willing to accept help from those people that are out there. And it's tough when you're young and maybe you think you know a lot and you want to do it a certain way and someone offers you. You know, for us, when we moved to Mississippi, we didn't have land purchased. We didn't know the area. And we had to rely on some people to help us find places that we could locate animals and actually, you know, start making some of those connections and get our feet grounded. And when we actually went to purchase land, there was a little bit of trust in having to rely on people. And there are people that stuck their necks out for us, helped us out, and didn't have to. And what I would tell y'all is be willing to accept that help. And then later, when you're in a position that you can then return the favor to others who maybe the reason that they stay in the cattle business is because you did something that helped them out at a time that allowed them to stick with it and keep going. So certainly accept help and offer help when you can. And the other thing, not just who motivates you, but who are you motivating? Because you're impacting people around you. And probably one of the first things certainly that comes to mind for me, I have a 6-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter. And, you know, they like going out to the farm. They have a good time out there. But they watch what we do. And I realized the other day when we were talking about, my husband travels quite a bit. He's an agronomist and moves around quite a bit. So there are plenty of times when it's just me and the kids and we're out there checking the cows, doing different things that we need to do. And my son made a comment about, you know, this is a lot of work, Mama. So he recognized what we were doing as work. And I realized there's a lot of truth to that. But maybe what I hadn't done a good enough job of conveying that I think we're going to move forward and try a little different strategy going forward is, what about the excitement, the good things about, and I've seen some of this in him when he talks about he has a favorite heifer, and he can tell me exactly why he likes that heifer. He's got some pretty good points, actually, at 6 years old, what he likes about this heifer. Is to for him to, not only that come genuinely from him, but for him to see that in us as we deal with the cattle, the reasons why we're excited about genetic improvement, why we're excited about the next calf crop, why we're excited about that bull that goes into someone's herd, and they come back and tell us what that bull has done in their herd and they're positive about it. Those types of things for them to see that, because that's what's going to be what transfers on, that if the kids decide later on that they want to continue on in this business, those are the types of things that are important. So certainly remember that you're setting an example for others as you go about it. So how do you stay motivated? Because I mentioned on the front end, we have different things that come up that are challenging, and there are different levels of that. And how do you stay focused? Stay focused on genetic improvement. Stay focused on heading in the right direction. Well, Bob mentioned that we've got some tools out there to help us to manage risk. But if you're not willing to take risk, you're not willing to be the one to step out and make some of those decisions to move your genetics forward, you're gonna be stuck where you're at. It's about a process of improvement, so you've got to be willing to take those risks. Now, those risks can be calculated risk, but certainly you've got to be willing to take them. You've got to be willing to learn. Not everything is going to work out as you thought. You may select a sire for your herd and then find out later on maybe that wasn't the best match. You know, you thought it would turn out a certain way. So you retool, you adjust, you make those adaptations and continue to learn. And you share those ideas. Now, this is a perfect forum. You've got other folks in here with the idea that they've come interested in the future of the cattle business, interested in genetic improvement, to share those ideas with each other, to learn from one another while you're here, network, not just at this meeting, but outside it. Another thing, too, and one of my mentors has been really good to ingrain this in my head, is to take time to reflect on where you've been and what you've done. You know, we talk about not repeating history and learning from it, but sometimes you get so caught up in what's next and, oh, there's so much to do and this is so challenging. But if you take back and you look where you've come from, look at your herd, where it was, where it's come in terms of genetic improvement, what you've been able to accomplish, you start to see that direction actually happening. And you see, well, you know, are we in a situation where we need to tweak it and move a little bit this way because this is actually where we're headed? You have to reflect a little bit to be able to tell that. And then you're going to hit those obstacles to be able to move beyond those obstacles that come before you. They come in a lot of different forms. Some of them, it's in terms of Mother Nature. Some of them, it's more relationship related or partner related. We've been in situations where we had a lot of lease land at one point in time and had some leases that were unexpectedly, prematurely ended, and we were scrambling to find other options for land. And those things, you just have to be able to adapt, to move past those experiences, learn from them, and be willing to stick with it. Don't let those things become setbacks that you hang on to. Move forward with those. This is actually a picture. Kobe, you may recognize the background. That's actually the South Farm. This is the campus farm at Mississippi State. Sometimes around here, y'all have noticed it rains a little bit every now and then here in Mississippi. And so cutting hay is an art because you never know when you're going to have that pop-up thunder shower. And so we had hit the perfect window for going out and cutting hay, and then you have, the one baler that's working do something like this. Those kinds of things happen. Those are temporary. This is why I say sometimes you've just got to, even though that's a major expense, you start thinking about those things that we all have happen on our operations, that you've got to step back and say, look, this is a minor setback. We're going to get past it. There's bigger things that happen. And I think another thing, too, is to have a good balance. Certainly we're here because we're all very focused on genetic improvement. We're very driven and focused on what we do. But you've got to watch and not burn out as you do it, that you really take time to balance and look at the bigger picture and other priorities, especially if you have other enterprises in your operation. I know we have a lot of diversified agribusinesses that may have a row crop side or other commodities that we've got to have a good balance there as well to have a healthy beef business. All right, so now I mentioned, Mother Nature and some of the things that come up. We certainly have had a lot of rain this year, and there have been times that it got pretty frustrating in terms of not being able to do certain things that we wanted to do with, it even impacts the breeding program, breeding pastures and other things. But one thing that I had to realize, and it was true story, because I actually took this picture yesterday on the way down here. This was south of Hattiesburg, and I don't know if you can tell on this picture. You ought to be able to see one of them. But that's actually a double rainbow. And you know where the end of that rainbow was? Right here. Right here, where we're sitting right now. There was a double rainbow right over Biloxi, Mississippi yesterday. And what's here? The Beef Improvement Federation. The pot of gold is the knowledge that you're going to be learning throughout the convention. It's the relationships. It's becoming engaged in BIF. So that was the result of all that. I've been a little negative about some of the excess rain that we've had. I know some of you would love to have it, but we had that rainbow, that double rainbow, because of that rain. And so sometimes it's just refocusing your thinking and thinking about that. While there's tremendous opportunities, we are blessed to be in a business that is able to put a high-quality protein product on people's plates, that we have the opportunity to do that, we have the ability to do that, that we're able to go and make progress, make improvement. So I go back to one advantage of y'all being here and being relatively young. You're ahead of some folks. I've visited with people in extension every day that are past retirement age, had a career in a profession not even maybe related to agriculture, and then have the means to come in financially and actually get into the cattle business late in life. And that's great that people are able to do that. But if you're doing that now as a young producer and think about what you're learning at places here where you're getting the cutting edge beef genetics information, and hopefully you're doing that in other areas as well, nutrition and other aspects of management, think where you're going to be down the line when you get to be that age, and think what you can share with others. So I certainly commend you for being here as a young producer. I hope that this is the first or of many BIS, or that you've been coming for a while and you're going to continue that. Definitely pleased to see the turnout here. And we remind you, anytime you think about just those words, Beef Improvement Federation, beef, that we're producing that food source, that high-quality protein product, improvement being a process that we're all focused on heading in the right direction for operations. It may be a little different for each of us. But certainly we've got to focus on what works for us, and there are the tools that are presented here that are able to do that. And then Federation, BIF is a very unique organization. It's an organization of organizations, as Twig said. And you've got competitors that are working together. You've got breed associations that day in, day out, they're competing for market share. But what are they doing here together? They're working together for the common good of the beef industry, for genetic improvement. You've got different aspects of industry, producers, seed stock, commercial, academia, all here to do the same thing. And so when you think about BIF, think about those aspects of it heading in the right direction, and that we're all here to work together. I'll be here throughout the convention. We've got a lot of folks here from Mississippi State who are willing to help you as well, people from the BIF board. Don't be hesitant to walk up to somebody. Introduce yourself. Pick their brain. That's, again, why we're here. That's why we'll be here in Kansas next year. And BIF will continue forward to make progress in terms of genetic improvement education. Thank you all.